Welcome to our daily inspiration for October 22. I'll be reading a few verses here from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, starting in verse 19. And the context is, the crowds were following Jesus. It says, "Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." So Jesus is telling the multitudes, as great crowds are following him, he doesn't necessarily consider this to be the definition of success, but rather he turns and lays down a standard, so to speak, or raises a standard what it means to follow him, to truly follow him. And then he gave two stories here, two illustrations to illustrate forsaking. And the first one of a man who started building doesn't really say that there was a man. He just says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost?" He's just asking who would start to build and not sit down first and do some calculations whether there's enough money available to finish the project. Would be quite something if someone were to start building, and that happens occasionally when funds run out before the project is finished. We see that from time to time, and it provokes in us, in the natural man, it just provokes exactly what he said. All who see it begin to mock him. In the natural man, it creates a feeling of mockery. This man began to build and he wasn't able to finish. The point here, I believe, is that it is good to count the cost, to consider whether we are committed to Jesus, because just as a man who may spend, let's say, $40,000 on putting in a foundation for a nice house and then runs out of money, he still doesn't have his house, and now he doesn't have his money either. And that's how it is with following Jesus only part way. We don't get the prize, and we don't have any, we don't have the benefits. There are no benefits to that kind of following. And then the second example here: what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. Or else, meaning if he sees that he can't, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. And it just stops there. It kind of leaves us hanging if we're not familiar with how those things work. It just leaves us hanging as to, well, what does that mean? And Jesus then just concludes with, so likewise, whoever of you who does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Well, what does that king have to forsake? Doesn't really say. It implies that we are, or the assumption is that we understand these things, and so I think we need to understand these things to an extent that we can grasp the meaning of this illustration. You know, when the king who's with 10,000 sits down and considers how he's going to fight this battle, and he realizes that it's just not going to work for him to go up to battle against the other king with 20,000, he's going to be overpowered, and he's just going to lose, and lots of men are going to be killed. And so he makes the decision then to send a small group of men, a delegation, and ask, you know, what are conditions of peace? And so just let me assure you that the conditions of peace will not be something like, just keep on being king, and I'll be king here, and you be king there, and we'll have peace. That's not how those things work. The conditions of peace will be something like this. You step down from your throne, and I am king over your country, and you will no longer be king. You need to completely give up all your power in your authority. And that's the point that Jesus is trying to make. When we see that we cannot, we can't make it on our own. We need help. We can't have peace with God. We can't redeem ourselves. And so we can then yield our lives or surrender to Jesus and make peace that way. But it means us stepping down from the throne, and we need to surrender all our rights, the authority over ourselves, and that authority now belongs to Jesus, and we are his subject. We're his subject. So these are two great awesome illustrations to demonstrate to us the need to forsake all the things that we possess, or and to lay down our rights, and we have forfeited those rights, and he has stripped us of our rights, and now we are his subjects. Our only rights are now to do what he said. And it's a sweet thing to trust him fully, to trust him that by yielding our rights and giving him authority over ourselves, that we will end up better off because he has our good in mind. When we can come to that place and where we just surrender to him and trust him with the outcome, that's a blessing, and I wish that for every one of you.